Morning, Whitneyville Bible Church. Welcome, welcome to this beautiful Sunday morning. Will you please stand as we open up our worship service, praising the Lord together. Let's sing together.
Well, good morning, Whitneyville Bible Church. So glad to see each and every one of you here today. Those of you who are joining us via the live stream, a warm welcome to you as well. We're so glad that you're joining with us too. For those of you who are here in the worship center, especially if you're a guest of ours today, I'd like to ask you to reach into the seat pocket just ahead of you and grab the Let's Connect card. Make sure you fill that out. Give us a record of your having been here with us today. And let us know how you found out about our church. Let us know if there's anything that we can do to share information with you. We had some folks who were here last Sunday for our resurrection celebration. And they reached out to us through the Let's Connect card and said, we'd like to know more about the church. So we're connecting with them and talking with them about our church. So if that's your situation, please fill it out. Those of you regular attenders here, you can put prayer requests or other information on here that you want to update us on. That's what that's for. Let's connect. That's what that's all about. I'm going to ask Connor to come, and he's going to share with you a couple of announcements related to Vacation Bible School.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So this Saturday, April 13th, we are going to be having a decor demolition day, I'm going to call it. Basically a big work day where we're going to be getting ready a lot of our decorations that we're going to be using around the church. Mainly what we're going to be doing, for those of you who are handy and might want to cut some stuff, we're going to be using some electric scissors and rotozips to be cutting out our decorations, like our stand-ups that we're going to be using. So all the help we can get, we're going to need people to cut those out, set those up. We're also going to look at, which I want to shout out our senior saints, number one, who have made a couple hundred of jungle vines for us already, which is so awesome. We're going to, give them, that's awesome. We're going to start getting all those jungle vines put onto fishing line if we have enough help, because those are going to be hanging all over the hallway to make the hallway look like a rainforest jungle. So all the help we can get, we're going to be starting at 10 a.m. We'll have everything laid out for you. So as soon as you guys get here at 10, we'll put you right to work. As long as you can be here is great. We'll take, Deb will feed them, she says. So we'll have food too. Yeah. So we're really looking forward to seeing you Saturday morning. If you can stop by and help, 10 o'clock, we'll be in the gymnasium doing a lot of work. Really, really fun. And then also regarding VBS, I know we still, Ashley is heading up our crafts this year and still needs some supplies. I see, number one, we provided a lot of toilet paper rolls and water bottles already, which is so awesome. But she still needs some more, because I think in total she needs like 250 toilet paper rolls. So we're still collecting those, and there is a box over in the lobby there to collect those. So thanks so much. We're excited.
We're looking forward to a wonderful vacation Bible school this year. We're asking the Lord to provide 120 boys and girls that week. And we're also asking that as a result of VBS, we'll have reached some families, some new families that will become part of our church fellowship. So I'm asking you to be an active prayer for that, as well as all the ramp up for VBS, for Deb, for Connor, for all the volunteers, and all that has to go into making it a great week. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time, the jungle journey this year. Coming on Saturday, April 27th at 10 o'clock, our women's ministry is hosting a brunch here, Sisters in Christ. This is a wonderful opportunity for ladies to enjoy fellowship together, wonderful food, time in God's Word. It's just going to be an encouraging time. The women's ministry is encouraging you ladies to invite other family members, other ladies in your family, moms, kids, grandkids, you know, nieces, all the whole nine yards, whatever you've got, friends and neighbors, invite them to be a part of the event. Let's make this just a really grand slam event, ladies, as we reach out to encourage each other and to strengthen each other in the faith. Sign up early and RSVP to make sure you save your seat. I want to mention to you that the Stauger-Stikes have withdrawn their membership from Whitneyville Bible Church. And we extend our best wishes to them for God's best in the days ahead and wherever wherever God leads them. I want to mention a couple of other things to you. You see in the prayer requests, we'll be getting to those here in just a little bit. But particularly want to draw your attention to Joel and Tony Tetro. They are our missionaries of the week. I think most of you know that Joel is pastor of Southeast Valley Bible Church in Gilbert, Arizona. He's also the Western Regional Coordinator for the Institute of Biblical Leadership here in the United States. They're in a transition at their church, about a 5 to 8 year transition, or toward the back end of that, where Pastor Joel is reducing his role as the lead pastor, and then his son Jeremy is picking up more and more of those responsibilities. And probably within the next 18 to 24 months, that transition will be complete. Pastor Joel and Tony have asked us to, since we're praying for them today, particularly pray about that. And then Pastor Joel is leaving here now, just a matter of a day or two, to go to Kenya on behalf of IBL. He's going to be doing teaching and training and discipleship with pastors there in Kenya. and also doing some evangelistic work. The missions team is grateful that we were able to send along some funds to Joel and help facilitate that trip. Your faithful giving is helping make that happen, and we want to say thank you to you for doing that. And Pastor Joel and Tony wanted to say thank you for that as well. One other announcement before we do our call to worship. We're going to be having a mission trip later this summer at the end of June and the beginning of July to Kodiak Island, Alaska. Now, before you get too excited about that, who wouldn't want to go to Alaska, right? You know, but it's not a vacation trip. This is a working mission trip. The plan is to leave the last Sunday of June, that would be June 30th, and come back a week and a day later on Monday, July 8th, June 30 to July 8th. We've been talking to Mark and Heather about bringing a team, and there are three things that they need to have happen for that trip. They need their house to be painted, and so we're going to be doing that work. They also have a ministry of providing wood for fire-burning stoves, for homes that heat with wood-burning stoves and that kind of thing. They provide that in their community. And I was talking to Mark a couple of weeks ago now, and he said as of right now, they are out of wood to distribute. And just in case you're wondering, winter is not done yet on Kodiak Island, all right? So I said to Mark, I said, so I suppose the words, enough wood for now is not in your vocabulary. He said, no, never. So that's the second thing that they need help with. And then the third thing that they need help with is part of our team that will be going to Kodiak will be doing a vacation Bible school for one of the small churches in a neighboring community. That church is not able to mount that kind of thing all on their own. And so they've mentioned to Mark and Heather, if you ever have a team that could come and help us with that, that would be awesome. And so we want to do that. So those are the three things that that team will be doing. If you have any interest in that trip at all, I'd like to ask you to take your Let's Connect card and write your name and your contact information on that on the back on the comment section. Just write, I want to know more about the Kodiak Island mission trip. And we'll be gathering you together soon. We need to finalize that team and get all the arrangements for that. Some of you have already been asking about that, but I just wanted to get that out there for you. Again, the dates are June 30 through July 8. I'd like to invite you to take your copy of God's Word, and our call to worship passage is right from the Lord Jesus himself, John 15, verse 8. John 15, verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Here's one of those statements that Jesus says, you want to know what it means to be my disciple? Here's one of those things. My disciples are productive. They produce fruit. They produce good, lasting fruit. So today in our worship service, we'll be turning our attention to God's Word in 1 Corinthians to learn what it means to be productive. Right now, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin in worship today. So, dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here today, our first and highest priority is to set aside anything that would distract us from you. Help us to truly know you in spirit and in truth today, right here. Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayers as you have promised to do. Lord, we're asking you to bring a special blessing to Joel and Polly Boughton today. These are folks who've joined our fellowship, and we're so grateful for them to be here. And we're asking, Lord, that this week especially, you would help us to reach out to them in prayer and encouragement, thanking them for being here and part of our church family. And Lord, would you provide them everything they need for life and godliness, I pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the educational ministries of our church. I think of what's been going on even here this morning at our Sunday school hour, through our children and our adult ages. A little later, we'll be dismissing boys and girls for Bible Blast. We have Venture Clubs on Wednesday, winding up in the next couple of weeks for this season. Vacation Bible School coming. Lord, all of these are a strategic and indispensable piece of discipleship ministry at our church. Would you help us to be faithful in causing these ministries to occur through our giving, through our prayers, as we're doing now, but also through stepping up and engaging in volunteering to work in these ministries. Lord, we're privileged to be part of an association of churches that are committed to teaching and preaching your word and extending gospel ministry locally and abroad. One of those churches in our area is Calvary Bible Church down in Kalamazoo. We thank you for their ministry, a very faithful work where you're using in abundant ways. Thank you for Pastor Brett Laird, who is the chief shepherd among those there at that church. And he has a huge responsibility to help lead the pastors in that fellowship in a knowledge of your word and sharing the gospel. Would you bless that work? And today, Lord, we're praying for Joel and Tony Tetro. We love these folks so much. We thank you for his faithful ministry at Southeast Valley Bible Church these number of years there in Gilbert, Arizona. We also thank you for his work with the Institute of Biblical Leadership. Lord, Joel has an enthusiasm that's contagious. And he has a passion for your word, for helping to know it, helping people to know it and to do it. He has a passion for evangelism, for people to come to faith in Christ. And even now, as he's preparing to go to Kenya to serve alongside our dear brother Fred Mukumbu and others, would you bless that trip, keep them safe as they travel, give them effectiveness in training and discipling the pastors, and as they share the gospel, would you just bless that trip. So, Lord, we ask for you to be with us in this worship hour. Help us to honor and glorify you in all things, I pray. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Stand and worship.
Carried, my sin far away. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe.
Thank you, Adriel. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. Boys and girls, you are dismissed for Bible Blast and your time in God's Word. I'd like to invite those of you who are here in the Worship Center to take your copy of God's Word, and join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, you can reach into the seat ahead of you. One of the seats ahead of you in the rack there has a Bible available for you to either reference, or you can even take it along with you if you need to. It's page 1012 where we're going to be reading in that particular copy of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 5 down through the beginning of chapter 3, verse 9. This is God's holy and inspired and inerrant word. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each has the role of the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field. Let's pray together. So, our dear Heavenly Father, today, as we come to this passage of Scripture, we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to guide us into truth. Lord Jesus, we desire to exalt you in the proclamation of the Word. And Lord, as we are instructed today about what it means to be your field, the productive field where your work is accomplished, would you challenge us? Would you stretch our thinking? Would you help each and every one of us to come to understand what you would have us do more and more to accomplish your great kingdom work through your church? I pray in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So here at Whitneyville Bible Church, we are very blessed to have two women who work in our office. They work with excellence and precision. Unfortunately, other churches out there don't have it so good, as borne out by my ever-growing collection of what I call bulletin blunders. Bulletin blunders. Here's just a small sampling of what I've collected. Here's one. This afternoon, there will be a meeting in the south and north ends of the church. People will be baptized at both ends. One not as careful secretary put, tonight's sermon, what is hell? Come and listen to our church choir practicing. She was on a streak. The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. Another week, she wrote, the sermon tonight, women in the church, our closing song, wise up, O men of God. If you don't know hymnology, maybe that would miss you. Anyway. Another time she wrote, the sermon this morning, gossip, the speaking of evil. Our closing song, I love to tell the story. One other week she put, this morning's sermon, contemporary issues number 3, euthanasia. The closing song, take my life. Yeah, our girls would catch that kind of thing. I'd get an email or a text, Pastor, did that what you meant? One more. The Low Self-Esteem Sport Group will meet Thursday from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Please use the back door. Enough of that. Getting it right at church is not an easy matter, is it? Whether in the church office or in the mainstream of life, catching our stride as followers of Jesus requires persistent determination and effort. To help us all in that direction, we are in the process of studying two of Paul's letters written to a group of first century believers in a city in Greece. We're reading and studying 1 and 2 Corinthians. Our current sermon series is The Real Deal, Authentic Christianity. We're learning what it means to be an authentic Christian. We're learning what it means to be an authentic church. And today we're going to continue a little bit of a mini-series within the larger series. Oh my word, it seems like forever ago. It was actually 3 Sundays ago we began this little mini-series we called The Measure of a Ministry. The Measure of a Ministry in 3 parts, part 1, part 2, and part 3. So a few weeks ago, part 1, we learned that the church is a family with the goal of maturity. Character is a mark of maturity, we learned. Our spiritual diet is a mark of maturity, and our attitude is a mark of spiritual maturity. And today is part 2 of that little mini-series, The Measure of a Ministry. We're going to be looking at the church as a field with a goal of productivity. And then next week we'll look at part 3, The Church is a Building. The goal is quality. So here's what I want you to remember today. Here's the big idea of our time in God's Word today. I've already said it. The church is a field. The goal is productivity. 1 Corinthians 3:9, the beginning of that verse, we just read it, says, "We are God's co-workers. You are God's field." Now we're going to look at several aspects, several dynamics of productivity this morning. Here's the first one I want you to see in verses 5 and 6. Productivity is achieved through diversity. Productivity is achieved through diversity. I'm sure you saw it there in the text, but notice that there are diverse individuals in, as Paul calls it, the field. There are diverse individuals in the field. It almost seems silly, but Paul makes a point to distinguish between Apollos and himself in these two verses, doesn't he? They are different individuals. And not only are Paul and Apollos different, but the entire fellowship of believers at Corinth Church, Corinth Bible Church, is comprised of different individuals too. There are diverse individuals in the field. Now, just for a second here, I want to share a word about diversity. This is not the concept that's thrust upon us in our culture today. You probably heard the term DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. I actually call it D-I-E. D-I-E, because that's what happens when people try to live by this diversity, equity, inclusion nonsense. The term diversity is used to apply to people who want to live in rebellion against God's plan and design in their bodies and for their sexuality. That's not what we're talking about today. Biblical diversity is the simple recognition of the obvious. People are different. Just look around the room. Some of you are more different than others. People have different skill sets, don't they? People have different opportunities in life, don't they? People have different capacities to accomplish different things. People are different. And that's what Paul wants to draw our attention to. It is part of God's genius at work that the work crew in his field is comprised of individuals who are diverse and distinct. They're not all the same. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Imagine a church filled with people just like you. Oy! Imagine a church of people filled just like me. Double oy! This design of a diversity within God's field is a key component of achieving the productivity God desires and intends in His field. There are diverse individuals in the field. Notice that there are diverse tasks in the field. Not only are there diverse individuals in God's field, but there are diverse tasks in the field. Verse 5, he says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? He says, they are servants. Each has the role the Lord has given. If you remember the history of the Corinthian church that we looked at the very first message in this series, back in the book of Acts, you remember that Paul was the one who started that fellowship of believers by God's grace. And then later, Apollos came to the Corinthian church. He was a teacher and pastor there, and he continued the discipleship process. And through his articulate ministry of preaching and teaching, God caused their fellowship to grow. The two different men, two different tasks among the Corinthians, and they all knew that. And then in verse 6, Paul says again, you know, kind of the obvious, I planted and Apollos watered. This is really a great word picture within the metaphor that Paul's using right here in 1 Corinthians 3 about the church, that it's God's field. As I mentioned, Paul did the planting and Apollos did the watering. Now, we have many folks in our church family here at Whitneyville Bible Church that are acquainted with agriculture. And these two tasks are essential if you have any hope of achieving a harvest. There has to be the time for planting, and there has to be the time for watering and for nurturing the plants as they grow. Two different tasks necessary to achieve the harvest. And so it is within God's field. There are many different tasks necessary to achieve the harvest of souls that God is after in His field. It isn't only about planting. It isn't only about watering. The harvest requires all of these tasks and more. Not everyone in God's field has the same gifting. Not everyone in God's field has the same responsibility. This seems obvious enough, but Paul is saying, I need to repeat it to you. I need to remind you of it. And so we need to hear it repeated. We need to be reminded of it as well. This was something that the Corinthians needed to hear. We do too. It's critical to discern our individual gifts and responsibilities within the church. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you have something to do within God's field. It is equally critical to recognize that everyone else may not be called and gifted in the same way that we are. And guess what? That's okay. That's okay. Productivity is achieved through diversity. Diversity of individuals in God's field. Diversity of tasks in God's field. But catch this too. In verse 8, productivity is achieved through unity. That might seem, you know, counterintuitive to what I just said, but notice what Paul says here. Productivity is achieved through unity. First, a unity of purpose. Unity of purpose. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, Paul says. The planting and watering process are done in harmony. They're not disconnected or unrelated tasks, are they? Imagine someone going to all the work to prepare a field, as we see some of our farmers doing already. All the work that goes into preparing the field, and then they plant the seed. And then another worker decides that he's going to fulfill the task of watering, but he goes to a completely different location, and he waters there, ignoring the prepared soil with the seeds that have been planted. That wouldn't make much sense, would it? No, it wouldn't. The one who plants and the one who waters, they have to be unified in their purpose, or there will be no harvest. There will be no productivity. And just as there is one goal in the agricultural field, so there is one goal. There is one purpose within the field of God, the church. Earlier in this letter, at the end of chapter 1, in the beginning of verse 2, Paul has already told us that the goal is pointing everyone and all we do toward the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He is our entire life. If we get off on our own tangents, we will not help the church grow and produce. I don't know if you remember, you can just flip back a page or so in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. This theme is very important in 1 Corinthians. From the very outset, Paul was laying this truth before the Corinthians. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say and that there be no divisions among you." And here, listen, he says, "and that you be united with the same understanding and the same conviction." So Paul has already emphasized the need for unity of purpose among the Corinthians. He is amplifying and expanding this critical concept. The importance of unity among all of God's people was a paramount concern to the Apostle Paul. Not only in Corinth, but among all of the churches. For example, to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, at the church there, Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 6, he wrote this to them. See if you catch the theme of unity here. "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." These statements of unity are the majors. We tend to get hooked and caught up about minors. These things that Paul has just reminded the Ephesians of are the majors. These are the things that bring us together and make us one. They are to be our intentional and purposeful focus in God's field. Unity was so important to our Lord Jesus that on the night he was betrayed, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not only for himself and not only for his 12 disciples, but for you and me too. Imagine. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and you are on his mind. John chapter 17, I only have time to read these verses, verses 20 to 23. "I pray not only for these," that's the 12 disciples. He says, "I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word." Guess what? That's you and me. That's you and me. "May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one. That the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." This was what was on the top of Jesus' mind getting ready to go to the cross. The unity of believers should parallel the unity between the Lord Jesus Christ and his Heavenly Father. The faithful and obedient accomplishment of this unity among believers becomes a driving force and impetus for the unbelieving world to come to a knowledge of God and of his Christ. Productivity is accomplished through unity. Unity of purpose. And look, that unity is also a unity with distinction. I'd like to put it that way. A unity with distinction. Again, look at verse 8. He says, each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Although we are unified in purpose as we co-labor in Christ's vineyard, each of us will be evaluated distinctly. Although we all have this similar status in Christ, we will be rewarded individually. In the work of God's field, we are one. However, in the matter of reward, distinctions will be made, Paul tells us. I want you to notice the emphasis here in verse 8. He says, each. And then he says, his own reward. And then he says, his own labor. Did you catch that? That word reward in the New Testament is the idea of receiving a wage, your pay, and yes, the idea of reward. The Moody Bible Commentary on this verse says it refers to payment earned for work one has completed. And they point out that that's an important distinction with this word, not just doing work, but work that you've completed. And again, although we have equal status before our Lord Jesus, each individual worker in Christ's vineyard has a different skill set and work capacity, as we've mentioned. And Paul's emphasis here is that each believer will be rewarded individually on the basis of their faithfulness in using their skill set and the opportunities before them. Serving God to gain eternal rewards. Does that seem like a valid motivation to you? Some of us who are a little more spiritual, perhaps, than others. Oh, no, I just serve Jesus out of love and devotion. Oh, yeah. Serving God to gain eternal rewards, I want to stress to you, is a legitimate and valid motivation. Neither Jesus nor Paul discouraged being legitimately motivated in order to gain eternal reward. In fact, they both encouraged it. We'll see that emphasized even more next time in the third part of this little mini-series, The Measure of a Ministry, when we look at the church as a building, and the goal is quality, when we look at the end of verse 9 down through the end of the chapter. In Matthew 5, verse 12, Jesus is speaking of blessing, of a blessing that a person receives when they're insulted and when they're persecuted and when somebody speaks evil of them for Jesus' sake. He says, be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 46, Jesus is speaking about responding lovingly to our enemies. He tells us there's a reward for loving our enemies faithfully. He says, for if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? It's one thing to love people who love you. That's relatively easy. But to love somebody who hates you and uses you despicably, that's a whole other thing. But remember, God will reward you for that. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17, we'll come to this passage later, but Paul is speaking of the reward that he's going to receive for preaching the gospel. For if I do this willingly, speaking of preaching the gospel, if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if unwillingly, I'm entrusted with a commission. Over in Revelation, chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus is speaking at the close of the book of Revelation, and he is helping us to look forward to eternity. He says, look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. What motivates you in life and ministry? Recognizing the diversity and unity of those called into service in God's field motivates us, at least it should, to think beyond just this present moment. Knowing that productivity is achieved through diversity and unity causes us to think and plan and act on heavenly terms, not merely earthly terms. Knowing God wants his field to be productive causes us to imagine and strategize beyond the temporal and conceive of the eternal. That's why we're so ready to stand in support of Pastor Joel as he's making his way over to Kenya. That's why we plan and strategize to take a trip to Kodiak Island. Why? Just because we want to enjoy the moment? Well, of course we're going to enjoy the moment being in Alaska. Don't even be silly about that. Of course we will. But it goes way, way, way beyond that. We're going there to serve matters of eternal value. And that's true of our ministry here locally as well. Now, this concept of diversity versus unity is so important to Paul that he's going to return to it later in this letter. In fact, chapters 12, 13, and 14 delve into this dynamic at an even deeper and more profound level. But consider one more dynamic with me this morning that affects our productivity. Productivity is achieved through humility. Productivity is achieved through humility. To put it another way, humility results in productivity. I'd like to draw your attention to several phrases in our text that we're looking at here this morning. Look at verse 5. He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? He says, each has the role the Lord has given. The point here is that Apollos and Paul are insignificant in contrast to the purposes and call of the Lord. If that's true of Paul and Apollos, it's true of me. It's true of you. Look at verse 7. Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Here's another critical contrast Paul makes. The different tasks that we fulfill within God's field are not the thing. Do you hear that? The different tasks that each of us fulfill within God's field, those are not the thing. The productivity generated by God is the thing. It's not that planting and watering are not important. Paul's not even suggesting that. But they are ultimately of no effect. They're just like spinning wheels if God doesn't do his part. The encouragement here is that if we do our part, God will then do his part. If we do what we can and then get out of the way, it is amazing to then sit back and watch what only God can do. Look at the beginning of verse 9. Paul reminds the Corinthians, we are God's co-workers. We are God's co-workers. There are no solo acts within God's field. No one person can do it all. And no one person dares to reach out and take God's glory. No, 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 no. We are a team. You remember the old acrostic, T-E-A-M, together everyone accomplishes more. That's true in the church, in God's field. And the team, the crew, out in God's field, heads up, belongs to him. belongs to Him. We are God's co-workers. The truth is, Paul and Apollos are relatively unimportant. Neither Apollos nor Paul has a reason to boast or to promote themselves above the other. And no one should be promoting anyone above anyone else either. An attitude of humility among the workforce in God's field has much to do with its capacity to produce and grow. Honestly, who wants to be part of a church that is characterized by bickering and a sectarian spirit? A church like that only chokes off life and progress in God's field. But when a church is unified, when a church demonstrates the humility of Christ, when a church pulls together, when a church is all about service and sacrifice, it allows itself to make a significant contribution to the growth and increase of God's kingdom. That's my prayer for Whitneyville Bible Church. I want you to think with me in this matter of productivity and the relationship between humility and unity and the empowerment of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. Many are very familiar with the passage in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Many refer to it as the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to think with me about the fruit of the Spirit for a few moments. Those characteristics, those attributes and attitudes are manifest when believers are walking and living in the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the beginning of the verse says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace." Love, joy, and peace. These inform our relationship to God, don't they? The second part of that verse is the fruit of the Spirit is patience, kindness, goodness. Patience, kindness, goodness. Those inform our relationship toward one another. In the beginning of verse 23 of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These inform our relationship toward ourselves. When all the fruit of the Spirit are present, all of our relationships are properly formed. I should mention Galatians 5:22 and 23 describe the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Dear ones, the person under the control of the Holy Spirit masters and manifests these collective characteristics and attitudes described for us there as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we experience this productivity in our own lives, then we are humbly productive within God's field. I can't help but be reminded of Paul's words to another fellowship of believers, again, in Ephesus, Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. "Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Did you catch the connection between humility and unity? Did you notice how unity is brought about by the person and the work of the Holy Spirit? O.S. Hawkins, he's the former pastor of Historic First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. He says this: "No church will ever be a great church in the eyes of God without its membership being all together and all filled. Unity and unction are essential elements to the making of a great church in the eyes of God. Pastor Hawkins is right. And we could add humility. We could say humility, unity, and unction are essential elements to the making of a great church in the eyes of God. That's what we're trying to say here today. And then notice further, humility remembers one's accountability. Humility remembers one's accountability. Notice Paul's repeated emphasis throughout these verses that we're looking at today. Paul draws our attention and accountability not to human personalities, but to the Lord. Verse 5. Each has the role the Lord has given. Paul attempts to deflate the puffed up view of the Corinthian church toward their superstars. Whatever Apollos accomplished in and among the Corinth Bible church was all because of the Lord. Whatever Paul accomplished in and among Corinth Bible church was all because of the Lord. The same thing is true here at Whitneyville Bible Church and every other authentic Christian church. Anything that could be accomplished of any spiritual value, any eternal value, is only done because of the Lord. Whatever God has for any of us to do is because of His providential sovereignty and because Jesus Christ is the preeminent, supreme Lord and head of His church. You can't ever forget that. Notice in verses 6 and 7, Paul emphasizes that God gave the growth. He says in verse 7, it is only God who gives the growth. This is why we pray to God to increase our borders and to extend the reach and impact of our church. Only God can cause genuine spiritual growth in and among us. We want the growth that only God can bring. Let's humbly yearn to see this growth in our part of the vineyard known as Whitneyville Bible Church. Look at verse 9. We are God's co-workers. Who's the we here? Verse 9. Well, I think Paul is reminding the Corinthian believers that in a collective sense, they are all co-workers in God's field. I think Paul is also reminding them that he and Apollos are co-workers. They're not rivals. They're not superiors to one another. And in our part of the vineyard here at Whitneyville Bible Church, we are all God's co-workers. As we will see later in 1 Corinthians, that means that we all have a job to do and a role to play. Let's remember that. And let's remember who's boss. He says again in verse 9, you are God's field. That's the whole metaphor he's been drawing upon in these verses. You are God's field. The work at Corinth Bible Church belonged to no person or organization or denomination. The work there belonged to God. The church was God's field, and the Corinthian believers needed to be reminded of this very important reality. We need to also remember Whitneyville Bible Church is God's field. It's not Pastor Jonathan's field. It's not Pastor David's field. It's not Pastor Dan's field or anyone else's field. It is not the IFCA's field. God bless the IFCA. Whitneyville Bible Church is God's field. God is the owner here. God is in charge around here. I hope you remember the big idea of our message today. The church is a field. The goal is productivity. I want you to imagine this conversation between some of Jesus' original disciples as they strategize how to draw in the crowds. It's late on Thursday evening as the group is gathered in an upper room. Jesus has a look of seriousness on his face and seems unusually quiet and a bit preoccupied. Hopefully this dialogue doesn't have a familiar ring to it. Pete, this meeting has been called at the request of Matt, John, Tom, and Little Jim. Bart, could you please open up with prayer? Bart, Almighty God, we ask your blessing in all we do and say, and earnestly pray that you will see our side as your side. Amen. Pete. Jesus, we have been following you around now for some time, and we're getting concerned about the attendance figures. Tom, how many were on the hill yesterday? Tom, 37. Pete, it's getting ridiculous. You're going to have to pep things up. We expect things to happen. John, I'd like to suggest you pull off more miracles, Jesus. That walking on water bit was the most exciting thing I've ever seen. But only just a few of us saw it. Now, if 1,000 or so had a chance to witness it, we would have more than we could handle there on the hill. Little Jim, I agree. The healing miracles are terrific, but only a limited number really get to see what's happening there. Let's have more water to wine, more fish and chips. After all, never hurts to fill their stomachs. Still some more storms. Give more signs. That's what the people need. Pete, right. And another thing. Publicity is essential. And you keep telling half the people you cure to keep it quiet. Let the word get around. Matt, I'm all for miracles and everything, but I want to hear a few more stories that I could actually understand. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear business just kind of clouds the issue, Jesus. I think you have to make it clear, or most of us are just not going to be able to take anything home. Big Jim, I'd like to offer an order of service. First, a story, then a big miracle, followed by an offering. Yeah. Then maybe saying, or something like that, followed by a small miracle to bring them back the next time. Oh, and yes, and a prayer, if you'd like. Tom, I have to do something. Little Jim, that's for sure. Attendance has been awful. Judas, I'd like to say, if we're going to continue to meet in this upper room, we really ought to do something about this carpet. Maybe that's not productivity Jesus style. Dear ones, the church is a field. The goal is productivity. Productivity is achieved through unity. Productivity is achieved through diversity. And productivity is achieved by humility. Go. Be productive like that. Let's pray. So, dear Father, today, as we hear these words from your word, we're challenged We're kind of slow sometimes to get it. Kind of clumsy and clunky when it comes to being obedient and being faithful. So when we read about the Corinthians, we realize we're in pretty good company, I guess, in a sense. But thank you for the inspired word of 1 and 2 Corinthians. It reminds us to not stay like that. That you want us to be a maturing family. And you want us to be a productive field. I pray for each and every one who is a member of Whitneyville Bible Church and those who regularly attend here. And Lord, I even pray for those who watch via our live stream, whatever local fellowships they may be a part of, that you would help us to grow up. And that you would help us to truly be effective and produce fruit that honors and glorifies you and our Heavenly Father. Forgive us for getting our eyes off of you and on personalities and preferences and all kinds of silly things that have nothing to do with what you want us to be about. So we throw yourselves on you. We confess our sin. We ask for your word and for your spirit to have their impact and their effect on us. Even today, even here, even now, I pray in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Please stand. as you get ready to go today, I want to remind the ladies to sign up for the brunch coming up a little later this month. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to consider how you can be a co-worker in the vineyard with VBS. A lot of work to do, a lot of ministry to have, and we want to do our part so that God can do his part in the lives of the boys and girls and his family. And especially want to ask those of you who have it on your heart to reach out to us. So check with the Connect card, call the office, check in with me if you're interested in partnering with us to do a work in a very extra special part of God's vineyard up in Kodiak. We'd love for you to be consider doing that ministry. As you go, I want you to leave hearing the words of the Lord Jesus to us from John 15, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says a very humbling thing here. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you, love one another. Walk with the King, be a blessing.